your sacred head now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thine only crown. How pale thou art with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? Hi everyone, and welcome back to Speaking with Joy. I'm happy to welcome you to this week's special Easter episode, concluding our series on Lent. In the last few months, we've talked about how we're all going to die, about humor and humility, about light and darkness, and about judgment. And this week, we're going to conclude by entering into the story of Holy Week. Now, I'm really excited to share with you this week's piece because it is one of the masterpieces of music composition in all of history. It is by Johann Sebastian Bach, and it is the St. Matthew Passion. Now, Bach is known to be one of the most influential artists and musicians of all of history. The way that he used tonalities, like Joel talked about a couple of weeks ago, shaped how we think of common era music and the harmonies that we use now. And this is said to be his masterpiece. So I'm so excited to share with you this week something that is both by one of the greatest musicians of all time, and that is also one of his greatest pieces. But what is beautiful to note is that this piece was one of Bach's most personal too, because it was the one most connected to his faith. I'm going to read you an excerpt from an essay on the Mystery of Faith blog by Terry Moon. Now, Terry Moon is a musician extraordinaire. She taught me and my siblings at various times on violin, though it didn't really stick with any of us. And she also happens to be the mother of one of my very best friends, Rebecca Moon. But she is an excellent musician and knows a great deal about Baroque music. So I thought I would give you a little introduction to this piece through her writing. She writes, "The St. Matthew Passion of Bach is widely regarded as one of the masterpieces of classical sacred music, and Bach possibly the greatest composer of any kind of music that has ever lived. But his music is not just any kind of music. It is Christian music. And specifically, it was influenced by his it was influenced by his Lutheran faith, which had this emphasis on the way that we worship, the songs, the beauty that we engage with. Faith kind of shapes the way that the things that we actually believe. And this has been something of a tension with modern scholarship on Bach. There's kind of this sense in the widely secularized world that we live in that people say, can we separate Bach's beautiful music from his faith? And if so, how would we appreciate his faith and the way it influenced his music? But I think that what is beautiful about Bach is that his music is not meant to be a doctrinal kind of bashing you over the head with what to believe, but is rather an invitation into the story of Christianity. There's this wonderful quote that Terry includes in her essay by John Elliott Gardner. Now, he is someone who specializes in Bach's music, and he authored the book Bach, Music in the Castle of Heaven, which is a very famous book on Bach's music. He himself is an agnostic, but he says that when he comes most close to becoming a Christian when he performs Bach, he writes the following. He says, "It is irresistible in its persuasiveness. I cannot deny that even if my logical mind says no, my soul, my spirit says this can only have come from somebody who has a totally credible and believable sense of Godhead and the futility of human existence. These are the aspirations that are necessary to make sense of our lives." And that is what I think that this piece of music, this St. Matthew Passion, asks of us. It doesn't ask us just to come in and believe the true things about Jesus. It asks us to enter into the story of the Triduum. And I think that in that, it captures one of the most wonderful things about Christianity, which is that at the heart of Christianity, there aren't just ideas, but these events. It's this idea that God has really come, that in coming he has offered himself as a sacrifice, as something to soak up all of the evil and sin in the world. And that's not just something that we believe hypothetically, but that it's a story we enter into. And most of all, it's a person that we encounter. And in this piece of music, the St. Matthew Passion, Bach invites us into that story and offers us ways to encounter and engage with it. So that's what we'll be looking at this week. We'll be looking at entering into the story of the Triduum, of the last 3 days of Jesus' life leading up to the resurrection. So today, whether you are a believer, someone who knows this story as your own story, someone who has taken it into your own life, or whether you are someone who does not believe but perhaps can see some value in this story, or perhaps you are someone who wishes you could believe but struggles to, I invite you to be witnesses and respondents to the last days of the life of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, before we get too far into telling you about the story and entering into the beauty of this piece, let me give you a little bit of the background on the history of this piece. The St. Matthew Passion was composed by Johann Sebastian Bach somewhere around 1727. It was composed for solo voices, a double choir, a double, and a double orchestra. So, if you're hearing me, double really does mean that there were two orchestras, two choirs, and is this absolutely complex and crazy wild thing that requires a lot of effort to put on. The piece is composed of excerpts from the Gospel of Matthew. It sets chapters 26 and 27 and kind of just goes directly through that, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And then it's interspersed with chorales and arias, which chorales are, we'll talk more about this in a minute, but it's big groups, so those double choirs, and then the arias are by soloists. And some of those are interspersed either with kind of what we would think of as hymns, which kind of we have the O Sacred Head Now Wounded, and also the arias with words that were composed by his librettist, Picander, who was a German poet. It was composed for a Good Friday service, and they believe that it was first performed on the 11th of April in 1727 at the St. Thomas Church, and then again on the 15th of April in 1729, and so on. And Bach revised it a few times before he did that. Now, something that's interesting to know is that during this time, it was technically you were not supposed to do passions, which passions are this very specific kind of setting of the last days of Christ. Musically, you were only supposed to do them with the exact translation of the Bible. So Bach entering in these kind of arias and chorales was actually kind of an interesting and almost controversial move. But he did it for a very specific reason. And it's the reason that we have already discussed, which is that he wanted to create something that would not only make people witnesses of the Triduum, and the Triduum is the last kind of 3 days of Jesus' life, but would make them also participants. So in this, I'm going to look today at the three elements of this, which are the recitatives, the arias, and the chorales, looking at how it asks us to think about the events themselves, how they pertain to us personally, and then how they pertain to humanity in general. And that's kind of looked at through the recitatives, the arias, and the chorales. So first, let's look at the recitatives. Now, I am incapable of saying that without sounding silly, but a recitative is something which is kind of, you're thinking of it as it sounds like, it's a reciting. So in Bach's St. Matthew Passion, they mostly consist of actually reading the scriptural text, which follows the story of the Passion. So let me give you a quick example. So that was the recitative, and what you heard there was the evangelist, which is Matthew, so he's the one telling the story, and then also the second soloist was Jesus. So he says, when Jesus had finished this speech, he said to his disciples, "You know that in 2 days it will be Passover, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." So the function of the recitative is literally kind of just to tell the story. It goes straight into the scripture and kind of gets those moments. Truth be told, it is my least favorite part of the Passion, because it's a little bit musically more boring. It's kind of more kind of jumpy and not as melodically lovely. And sometimes it almost sounds silly to me. But I still think it serves a very important function, which is that it just tells the story, it emphasizes the narrative. And this is a really important thing, especially when you think of a Good Friday service. So this week we are in Holy Week, which is kind of the highest week of the Christian year, and it focuses on the last week of Jesus' life. So today we have Maundy Thursday. I was going to say Monday Thursday, but that's not it, which is when Jesus takes the disciples to have a last meal together and he washes their feet. And then that night he's taken away and by the police and he's arrested. Good Friday is the day when Jesus is crucified. Saturday is Holy Saturday when there was silence and Christ is in the grave. And then of course you have Sunday. So out of this triduum, it's interesting to think that most of Christian theology emerges from here. All the ideas we have about atonement, you know, how we are made right with God, is found and planted inside the narrative of Jesus' death. It's not just kind of an external idea that we have somewhere up in the sky or a platonic idea that we could kind of reason ourselves to. The Christian theology says that no, this is found in the events of Jesus' life. And so is paraclesis, you know, the giving of the Spirit comes as he says, I will send the Holy Spirit. So much of Christianity kind of comes from these days. So it's really important that we have these recitatives that focus on telling the narrative. But they are sort of boring. But that is kind of the function of the recitatives, is to tell the story of the Passion. But it is not enough just to know the story. Bach also wants to make us feel like we are inside of it. And that is how he uses the choruses. So these beautiful chorales, you know, I told you at the beginning that he has two choirs and two orchestras, function kind of to say what is our part as the congregants in this story. And the chorales come at these moments where they kind of almost interject into the story as a moment where we're able to respond to the story of Jesus' death. So let me play you the very opening chorale, which is this wonderful kind of laying over of the choirs and the boys' choirs. And it's just this incredible kind of complex bringing us into the story of the Passion. So this opening chorus is, it says, come daughters, help me lament. Behold whom? The bridegroom. Behold him how? As a lamb. Anyway, it goes on and on like this, and it's asking questions. And what it's doing is it's functioning to say to the audience, and not to the audience, the congregants, people who have come together, come help me lament. It's saying that we are all a part of honoring this story. And another function that it has throughout the piece is that they think that perhaps the audience, or the congregants rather, were meant to actually sing the choruses with them. So when you have the recurrence of, O Sacred Head Now Wounded, this gorgeous hymn, the audience were meant to sing along. It was kind of these moments of, okay, we've heard this part of the story, now let's all take a moment to kind of think about it, to dwell on it, and to respond to it. Because the whole point of Holy Week is to enter the story, and to, as the opening says, to help us all lament the beauty and the sadness of the Passion. And so in this, Bach kind of seems to say, not only what is the story, but what does it mean for us? What does it mean for all of humanity who try and have all of this effort, but have this kind of sense of there being a brokenness and a fallenness? How do we enter into the story of God's self-giving love for us? That when it came down to it, he would give not only everything he had, but he would give himself. And the choruses function as these moments to dwell on that, to think about it, to let it settle in not only to your mind, but into your heart. And this brings us to the final kind of element that Bach uses, which is the aria. Now, in other opera, arias are these moments that are solos that are usually very kind of floral and extravagant in their melodies that are beautiful. And their purpose is usually kind of to capture a deep emotion. In other operas, it might be a romantic love. But in this, it's kind of this sense of repentance and of dwelling on the love of Christ. I'm going to play you one of my very favorite arias from this that I think is so intricate and beautiful and just absolutely lovely. So this is Buß und Ruhe, which means repentance and regret. And it goes on like that, and the lyrics read, "Repentance and regret, repentance and regret, rip the sinful heart in two, thus drop my tears, desirable spices, brought to you, loving Jesus." So the point of the aria is this, it kind of turns from the chorus, which is this corporate response, to this very personal, intimate response of seeing how does one person respond to the life and forgiveness of Christ. So this is the movement that Bach takes us through as he moves through the Passion of Christ. He looks first at the story and how so much of what we know and believe about God is not just from things that are told to us, but the narrative that is given to us, the things that Jesus actually did in his life, and that's revealed through the recitatives. And then we see this kind of corporate response of what it means for us as congregants and for us as a humanity to know that God has moved towards us in love. And that is explored in this more kind of personal way through the arias that are these kind of emotional, thoughtful responses to the story that we're embarking on. Now, I wish that I could play you the whole thing, but I would really encourage you this Holy Week, perhaps this Good Friday, to listen through to some of the very best bits. And I've included in my blog some great resources to go do that. And to kind of read through the libretto and allow yourself to get inside the story of this movement through Christ's last days. And I really recommend, as a recording, the one that I've been using for this podcast, which is the Bach St. Matthew Passion, obviously, the English Baroque Soloists, directed by John Elliott Gardner and the Monteverdi Choir, which you can find on iTunes. And that also is the composer and the conductor that we had the quote from at the very beginning. Now I want to end with this final thought, which is how Bach ends the story. What's interesting about this passion is that he does not end it with the resurrection. After a beautiful aria that ends with the phrase, "My Jesus, good night," kind of laying Christ to rest after his passion, it ends with a chorus standing at the grave and saying, "We sit down with tears and call to you, rest gently." It's interesting that Bach leaves us here. And he lets us sit in the sadness of Good Friday and of the silent Holy Saturday. That's something we don't talk about as much, but there's this space between Christ's death and the silent day when nothing seems to be happening, when the disciples were left in sorrow, and the joy of Easter Sunday. And I think in many ways that we live in a world that rests in Holy Saturday. We know God's love for us because we have seen the life and the beauty of Christ's life. But we also wait with unanswered prayers sometimes, and we look at the difficulties of the world, and we wonder if God is present in that. But what Bach does for us is he allows us to sit with that moment. He does not call our doubts or our difficulties or our sorrows unfaithful. In matter of fact, it's a normal part of the faithful life to say that Christ's death was a grief, and that before we rush to the hope and the joy of the resurrection, we can acknowledge the difficulties and the grief of life. But of course, we know that Easter is coming. But for the moment, let us honor the story of Christ's passion by sitting and honoring his death. I'm going to close with this final chorus as a final thought for you all, and I wish you all a meaningful and good Holy Week this week, and I hope that you know that you are very loved by God.